Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the happy St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, actually. I hope you're well. Boy, it was a strange-looking morning this with the sun and the clouds the way they were. I don't know. It might have had something to do with Ireland, I think. I don't know.
I mentioned to Johnny on the farm, that would meant rain. It looked like a rainy day to me, but it's not.
No, it's no forecast.
No. I don't know. I don't know what was going on.
Coming down 50 this morning. It's a little bit of a sprinkle, but nothing.
I'll have to check the radar here. There's actually nothing around, unless you're just south of Goldsboro. It looks like north of, kind of northeast of 40, if you're traveling around in there. Kind of south of Mount Olive and in that area, but otherwise it just it's kind of an extraordinary morning. Not very cold. I was about 60 degrees or so, and I hope everybody's well. You know, I do have a little green. I have a tiny bit of green. Actually, we've got a lot of green. We got a kind of a hat in here, a party hat of a leprechaun's hat, and we were provided with some four-leaf clover glasses. How apropos, Rufus.
I love
clover so much.
You know, I'm Scotch-Irish to begin with.
Yeah.
Up there in the mountains.
Well, some of the Raleighs, most of the Raleighs settled in Devon County in Great Britain, but there was a group that went to Ireland. I think I must have been part of it. The rowdiest are the Raleighs.
Well, the champions, the Oscar in the radio business, broadcasting business.
No, I haven't gotten an Oscar.
Well, the Hall of
Hall
Fame.
Of Famers.
The Hall of Fame is like the Oscars.
Well, it means as much to me. But we got a photo we took of us wearing these glasses, and so Johnny Coley, you didn't know you were going to have to come in here and
start modeling
and camera glasses. Start being undignified.
Yeah.
Since when have we been?
No. What are you eating over there?
The sweet lady brought some
Shay of the station. Yeah.
Brought a fruit plate.
Yeah.
She normally brings donuts and things like that I shouldn't have. And I'm just enjoying these fruits.
I know. She's so nice.
Yeah.
So our cup runneth over this morning. I don't know who brought the glasses in, but we appreciate it. Oh, Jason, thank you. Jason, thank you very much. These are nice. So, we'll put that on Facebook. 919-860-9783. You're invited to join us this morning for the Irish edition. Only green plants this morning. Irish edition of the Weekend Gardener. Rufus Edmonston and Johnny Coley. Johnny, how's everything up north there in Oxford and Roxborough and
going,
so forth?
Going well. Just it's early warm up's going to catch us probably, because we're going to get a. Another cold.
We sure will.
I will. So
maybe next week.
I tell everybody, it's not the late freezes that get us; it's the early warm ups that get everything flushing out. But right now we're calving on the farm, so we're in the middle of calving season. So we've got 7 calves on the ground and 4 more to go. So it's been sort of a stressful time. It's always
time. We've kind of watched that at the farm, especially in the later years when. In recent years, when we were renting the pasture land and the cows, and you'd see calves out there lying down, and the mama's licking them, and so forth.
It's about a month later in the mountains.
Okay.
Calving season.
A little bit later in the spring. So we've had in the last week had 7. So we had 2 yesterday. And
good gracious! So is your wife on alert?
I think she's glad that this first phase is over with.
Because y'all have to worry about coyotes and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I told you should have bought that donkey.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
They work.
They do. Yeah, they do.
They carry on a racket, I'll tell you that.
What we almost did, and then we found out that they don't know the difference sometimes between a dog and a coyote, and we have a dog that goes in the pasture with us sometimes. We didn't want him to get in trouble.
So. Well, maybe they need to grow up together or something.
Maybe so. They would.
Well, Johnny, let me ask you this: have you ever had to deliver a breached calf coming out backwards? I remember that.
We had one a couple of years ago that did occur. She actually did have it before the vet got there. We call the vet because I'm not one to be able to go in there and turn it around like you have to. We've had to pull some that, you know, the mother had a hard time calving, and we'd have to help her out with pulling.
Well, you know what my daddy used? It's a little pulley-like thing. If you couldn't easily do it by hand.
How about that?
It was a little pulley, hook it up to the side of the wall.
It sounds like the farm hour.
Oh, yeah.
The old WPTF farm hour.
Yeah.
So,
and they have jacks, you know, that you can hook up. But we usually just use chains that we can hook to their front feet and assist.
Well, that's a heart. What breed of cow is it?
Herefords.
Oh, okay. I saw some yesterday. I just love Chatham County. My wife grew up in Chatham County, and my son lives, and daughter-in-law and grandson live there, and in Pittsburgh, and we were out gallivanting and riding around. There's such pretty country over there, such undisturbed country.
Well, you don't have the farm to go to anymore.
We don't.
What do you
do? We don't. We go over and eat at S&T's and go visit our grandsons and son. We didn't see any of them yesterday. We just had to let out the dogs.
Well, I want to know if you've ever been back to Rufus's, the restaurant Rufus.
You know, I haven't. Rufus and Phil Campbell and I went to Goldston to Rufus's restaurant one time. We had a hamburger.
Yeah.
It was nice to see those people. I think Rufus has passed away, I think his wife owns it.
Now, somebody just heard that in the tail end.
This Rufus, obviously. Yeah, yeah.
He's talking Rufus.
The Rufus of the Rufus's restaurant. You don't have a restaurant, sir, that I know of.
No, I've got all kinds of animals.
You have a roadside stand, but not a restaurant.
I told you about one time I had this friend up in Lenora that named a dog after me, Rufus, and I was out on the campaign trail running for governor, and the lady that owned the dog called my secretary Shelley and said, Rufus has done been run over and killed. Well, Shelley at that time, and said, oh my God, what will we do? And she said, no, just a darn dog.
What do you mean, just a darn dog? Good gracious. Right, that's terrible all the way around. Right. Yeah. How about that? Well, such is the life of Rufus Edmiston. But, we haven't been back to Rufus's restaurant. It's way on out there. That's the far hinterlands of Chatham County, it feels like. But I just love riding around. That's what people did back in the day. You'd get out and ride around. I mean, there's an episode in the Andy Griffith Show of Barney getting a new car, and that's what they do. They all pile into the car and ride around, look at folks' barns and what's new, look at the scenery. Yep. That's what we did. Did y'all do that in the mountains?
Every Sunday, we would ride around, mainly go see relatives.
Yeah.
On Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. See who's in the graveyard.
But it was a joy riding that old 19, I'm trying to remember which one it was. It was about a 51 Plymouth or something like that.
Okay.
So I still do that. Yeah. I love doing that. That's my recreation. That is the most relaxing thing to me.
Yeah. It's funny, the other day, Linda said, you reckon Mike and Melissa are riding around down in Chatham County? Because I tell them about, she knows about S&K.
S&T's, yeah.
S&T's.
Well, she's been there.
And we had that marvelous party for you there.
She was there upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Big John had a banana split that day. That's the biggest banana split in the world.
Well, he's a big man.
Yeah, I think he shared it, but it was pretty big.
He pretended to share it.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Even Big John might not be able to eat all of that. But at any rate, we had a great time.
Well, matter of fact, I had one too.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't remember that.
Yep.
I was kind of overwhelmed. Plus, we had had the hurricane come through, or the tropical storm. People had trees down. I had a big tree down in my, that almost hit my house. So there were people who were at beach cottages, or relatives who couldn't be there because they were trying to figure out if their beach cottages were okay, and cleaning up homes here and there. So, yeah, we had a great time there.
Well, you had some really nice relatives.
Yeah, yeah, good folks.
Yeah, yeah. You weren't ashamed of any of them.
Pre-social media.
So no, I can't think of any relatives I'm ashamed of. There's some great people in my family.
I wish I could say that.
My family and Melissa's family.
Of it might be vice versa.
Got some relatives that may be ashamed of me, but not all of them.
I can't imagine anybody being ashamed of you, Johnny, except maybe wearing his glasses this morning. I think we're going to have to do it again. We didn't get this leprechaun's hat.
Yeah, you're the one who gets to wear that.
Well, you can't wear it. It's just kind of a, you see? I think we're going to have to put it in your lap or something, let you sit down, and we'll... Johnny and I will get behind you, and you can hold it.
I think it's a green accordion.
Maybe you can put it on top of your head and act like you're wearing it.
Yeah.
So, Jason, we'll need to take another photo. I should have thought of that. So we've blown pretty much 18 minutes here talking about things other than plants. Forgive us. Somebody's going to write again. 919-860-0783. 919-860-WPTF. So, Johnny, what have y'all been getting calls on?
Well...
All the blooming plants. Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, the darn pine pollen is out.
Started up yesterday. I went out yesterday and looked, and I thought there was a forest fire somewhere in the area because it was so much.
Thank goodness it rained.
Yeah, that knocked it down. But everybody's hopefully wrapping up their pruning chores, but that's probably been the biggest thing. Fruit, you know, getting fruit trees and fruiting plants pruned. The 4-H in Person County is actually selling, having a blueberry sale this spring. I believe yesterterday was the last day to order those, but we're having a blueberry workshop Monday evening to talk about blueberry care and how to take care of them.
I just had a bowl full.
Oh, really?
And some yogurt.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's hard to beat blueberries. Yeah.
So good, firm blueberries.
It is a good.
I like the small ones.
It's a good, you know, crop to raise here in Piedmont area because it doesn't have a lot of disease and insects.
And there's some beautiful farms down east.
It
Duplin
is,
County
yeah.
and
oh, yeah,
Pender
yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
so forth.
Brunswick County has,
right.
has quite a few.
Yeah.
There's a lot of.
So lot fruit of trees, but you need to leave your ornamentals, a lot of them alone, at least the spring flowering
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, depending on what they are. You know, of course, the forsythias are blooming now. Azaleas will be blooming pretty soon.
Pretty soon, yeah. I'm surprised they aren't already blooming.
Yeah, some of this weather. So, you know, anything that's going to bloom this spring, you definitely don't want to prune.
Oh, my forsythia are now fading. They've been blooming for almost 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have noticed a lot of green coming out the leaves coming out on the forsythia.
And I was actually at a site a couple of weeks ago and blueberries were getting to put leaves on. I was surprised at that. I don't know what variety it was. It was an older bush, and the homeowner didn't know what variety it was, but it was already beginning to leaf out, which was unusual for blueberries to be blooming up. I mean, to leaf out. They're budded up very heavily, but getting the pruning done, and I have some pond calls, and I've had several pond calls already where aquatic weeds are beginning to already.
What do you do about aquatic weeds?
Well, they're depending on what it is. Usually. You have mechanical control for some of the ones that are right on the edge. You can just pull them up on the edge. If it's a bad infestation, went to a site this week, and a gentleman had some cattails on his pond, and it was probably covering half the pond. So
wow,
it wasn't a large pond, and not very deep, obviously. But the you know, trying to get ahead of them early is key. So, like if any weed, you know, if you can get them under control while they're smaller, it's easier to do that, whether it's chemical control or doing mechanical.
What kind of chemicals do you use to get rid of cattails?
Well, actually, glyphosate. There's an aquatic glyphosate
that's, oh, okay.
That's labeled for, uh-huh. for cattails. And imazapyr is another active ingredient that can be used for them. But as long as it's an aquatic label, that's the key for ponds. Even though it might be the same active ingredient, you want to make sure that it's labeled for aquatic use, because there are some inert ingredients that might be in something that you could spray in the landscape that might damage something in the aquatic arena. So you want to make sure you have an aquatic label on whatever you do spray in your mm-hmm. pond. But diquat and copper are often used for controlling different weeds as well. But the key, and as far as anything in the landscape or anything really, before you start treating it, you want to ID what it is. So you, not all the aquatic weeds can be treated with the same chemical or the same active ingredient as something else. So, you know, the carp, a lot of times you can put, you know, a carp in the pond, and that'll take care of some of the especially the submerged weeds, some of the weeds that'll come up.
That was another Andy Griffith episode. We're talking about killing a carp. This lady member of the press walks in all dressed up, and she can't understand why they're killing carps. So you had carps to get rid of aquatic.
Yeah, you can add the grass plant, carp. So. Yeah, the grass carp you add uh-huh. to the ponds. And
I hear they're mean.
The carp?
Carps, yeah.
Really? Okay.
That's what they said in the barbershop on the Andy Griffith show.
Are they fitting to eat?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I mean, I guess if you're hungry enough, you eat it.
I guess so.
I don't know.
It's like an old bottom sucker, we call them up home. That live on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
They're not what much
catfish.
Deep.
That's yeah. not a catfish.
Yeah, right. Not much deep. And the ones that
some of them are
better. They
come in contact with too much mud.
Yeah.
They taste a little muddy sometimes.
Yeah.
A little gamey.
I guess that's mud cats. So
there you go.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, they so there are different ways to control the weeds in the aquatic area, but that has become early. I usually don't get this many calls as early as I've gotten on those this year. But you know, it's going to be time to plant the garden here pretty soon. In fact, the cole crops, some of your brassicas, you can already get in the ground in the middle of March. You know, planting the broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage.
Well, I had transplants, of course.
Transplants, yeah.
I've got broccoli. I've got three kinds of lettuce.
Wow. And, those big tubs?
Now, notice I didn't put any kale in there. But
I really think you ought to try a variety
of kale.
Well, a gentleman called here a couple Saturdays ago.
Yeah, he was talking about garlic and all kinds of stuff.
And gave a good recipe that I wish I'd written down. But then I have some other people who have told me that if you mix enough stuff with it, it's edible.
Uh-huh. It's not bitter?
Yeah.
Or...
Well,
whatever.
If
you wash it off, I'm sure it'll be good.
One person said, use some bacon grease. Well, yeah. I know.
Well, bacon grease goes well with anything.
Yeah. That didn't suit my wife. She's not much into the...
Oh, yeah.
She's a vegetarian to begin with, and then bacon grease, if she saw me eating that...
Well, what about vinegar? Vinegar and olive oil, some mixing them
in. I've tried that. That doesn't work for me on the kale.
Oh, I don't know. You're just dead set against it, aren't you?
Well, I'm going to get over that because I don't think it's fair.
I don't know. That could be a lobbying opportunity, too, and you're killing it.
Yeah. The way I've talked about kale over the years shows an intolerance that no one should hold.
I agree.
Yeah.
So
now, how many grits? I can't go with them.
That was something we had on the table occasionally at my in-laws, because my mother-in-law is from Ohio, and she liked hominy. Melissa likes hominy. I don't remember what we had with it. But
what I'm thinking of, it's made out of corn.
Yeah.
Is that a hominy grit?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I never know those.
I don't know that I've had hominy grits. So.
Well, you like grits, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, but it can.
You know, they were not as much of a staple when I grew up in the mountains as they are down east. And I've never found anybody that doesn't like grits down east.
Yeah. And my father was from South Carolina. They love grits. Grits and rice.
Yeah.
Somebody from out of the area said they didn't really understand grits. It's just like it was a vessel.
Well, I mean, it's not something that you philosophically have to warm up to. You just have to put a little salt and butter on it and eat it.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah, you don't have to think about it.
It looked like it was a vessel just for butter and salt. And he said, you get it exactly. That's exactly
what that's it. It's not a lot of flavor unless you add those.
Well, I add sugar to mine.
I don't
you
get
that.
You can
add honey to them. Yeah, honey can go with anything. So.
Yeah. There's still calories in the honey.
Well,
I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah. The family consumer science lady always reminds me that sugar is still in honey,
regardless
of what you replace it. So it's still.
But what are grits made of, by the way?
Corn.
The corn?
Grits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I white corn, yellow corn.
Yeah.
That's Yeller.
Yeah. We had a dog named Old Yeller, and there's a movie made one.
Well, I'll tell you, we're segueing from one thing to the other. We just can't get back on. We're getting here to St. Patrick's Day. We should be talking green.
Yeah.
No. Well, I have done this. I prepared my tomato beds in pots already, had good soil. Put
somebody asked me about that yesterday. They were gonna. They wanted to know if it was too late or too early. I said, yeah.
To plant?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I've planted, but I'm talking about preparing the pots, and I put plenty of lime in there.
And you sterilized them.
I sterilized.
So you don't get that.
And stirred. I did the. I used black cow.
Uh-huh.
And I'm all set, and I've got 30-gallon pots, Johnny.
Good gracious.
30-gallon container.
So you're going to have a real variety, huh?
Well, I could almost plant two in each one.
Yeah.
I wonder if I ought to try that.
I don't know. They might be crowded.
Yeah.
I think they'd be too crowded.
30-gallon, that's not too big. That's not too much for one plant. That's a good-sized pot. But for depending on the plant, if it's
got about 15 seconds.
It's indeterminate.
I'm kind of indeterminate whether we're going to go to this break or not here. I think we shall. We'll discuss tomatoes and Lord knows what else.
Yeah, I want to talk about Craig Hulier is testing.
He's coming. He'll be on the show next week.
Okay.
All right. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. We just took another photo of our three-leaf clover glasses. I don't know what's that about, but at any rate, we got that. And Rufus is sort of wearing a party hat. We made that possible, and we're having a real big time up here. We don't have any green beer, but I don't like beer that much anyway.
St. Patrick's Day Eve, I guess it is.
Yeah, I'm not much of a beer person. But
no, I'm not a beer person either.
But a lot of people like it, yeah. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. And
well, let me give you a little account of a pleasure I had yesterday. My order came in for my lilies.
Well, what did you order?
I had all kinds of tall lilies. I've forgotten the exact name of them. They get 6 feet tall. Stargazers.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And then I put those in the background. I had a total of over 75 lilies.
Goodness.
And so Palmer and I did some digging and putting, and I had some bone meal. Since I don't have Jasper now, I can assure they will not be dug up by a dog. And I got to worrying about whether or not they're going to be here in time or not, but those seed companies know what they're doing pretty well. They know when to put stuff out and in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had fun doing that. And I don't know, a lot of the nurseries don't carry things like, now they'll carry daffodils and that sort of thing, but they don't seem to want to carry many lilies. And
well, the warm season.
Yeah.
I mean, the summer blooming.
Yeah. So you
and
you
some mostly, fall blooming.
You mostly order
yeah.
from catalogs, and that's always a pleasure.
Well, good gracious, we've got Major Dave.
Oh, great.
On the line from the mountains of Virginia, and I think we need to go straight to Major Dave. Good morning. So you can get out there, and have you had any rain, or is it chilly up there, or what?
It has been. It's in the 70s, but next week we're going to have 2 days back in the 50s. The low's right at freezing, so I can't put anything in the ground just yet.
Yeah, we were just talking about tomatoes, and
yeah,
you can't. It's way too early.
Yeah,
way too early here, and I'm sure it's way too early there too.
Well, it is unless you find a way around that.
What is your theory on that, and what have you found, Major?
I'm using 2-liter soft drink bottles. I'm cutting them about 4 inches to 5 inches above the bottom. Then I slice that top down so they're kind of fold in, little tabs that fold in. And then you can put the top of the pop bottle back on top of it. And I'm creating miniature greenhouses.
Well, I'm looking at my Dr. Pepper bottle right now, Major Dave, and envisioning what you're talking about.
Well, he's using the 2-liter.
And you're using the 2-liter, but yeah. I'm looking at that. But here's, I've tried everything in the world over the years about getting head start on tomatoes, and I don't think they really do any quicker until the soil warms up.
I don't know. This may be a revolution.
Yeah.
Well, I had my bag of potting soil in the house, so it's... the soil temperature is at least 70 degrees that I'm putting in those bottles, and they'll sit in the house. I'll try 4 seeds to each one, so with the 8-bottle rack, I'll get 32 plants, and I'm going to plan to do about 3 of those because I've got to do the romas for my wife and her spaghetti sauce. And then I'm trying a variety this year I haven't tried before called Margot, and I wanted to know if you had any opinions on Margot.
Margalobe is I guess considered an heirloom at this point, so it's not a hybrid, so it's not resistant to the diseases that you know some of your hybrids would be. It's a good canning tomato, from what I understand. A lot of people use that. It's a Homestead and Margalobe sort of fall in that same category as far as that goes. So it's been around a long time, and a lot of people like the Margalobe, but it just doesn't have the resistance to the diseases that some of the hybrids do.
Major, they should have made you a colonel before you left the service. All these inventive things you're coming up with. You're a smart fella.
Well, I can't take credit for it. I saw the idea on social media and figured I'd give it a try, but it makes perfect sense. And I'm also experimenting with the clear bottles that I get with Dr. Pepper or the green bottles that I get with Mountain Dew.
Well, I'm sure Rufus will be all for the Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, the Mountain Dew is the alternative to Dr. Pepper for me. No, what I thought, Major Dave, you were talking about, you were going to try to put them out in the ground already. And that I know now what you're doing. You're just starting them off in the house.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, now I'm seeing it better.
Is that something you may try, Rufus?
Well, I'm lazy.
Well, I know, but you got all these Dr. Pepper bottles.
And I have I have lighting in my basement that I rigged up when I was in earlier life and grew everything from seed. And I got to come along and you get a little bit lazy. And I was afraid somebody, when I was Attorney General, I was afraid they'd accuse me of growing marijuana. Because that's what you...
that pops into everybody's head.
That's what you did back in those days.
Yeah.
You'd start near people...
Suspicious of anybody that bought a grow light.
Yeah. And you know, the government did... I found out one time that the federal government did keep a check on that. And I thought, what an invasion of privacy. What a terrible invasion of privacy. But they, if somebody... ordered a huge amount of grow lights, and they weren't a fundamental business, then the federal government would start looking into them for thinking that, okay, they're going to start growing pot.
Yeah. Hey, I've heard of electric bills going up, peaking at a certain time. Yeah. They would send a red flag to us.
Well, if they come along, I say, well, I'll just put up an electric fence out there to keep the cows in.
Well,
I found I was using some old seed, too. But I've been having good success with seed that was even 2 or 3 years old, as long as the packet had not been opened. I keep them in a brown paper bag in a dark closet, and they don't seem to have been affected by the age.
That's tomato seed, you said?
Tomato, squash, corn, lima beans, they all seem to still do fine.
Yeah, it does depend on the seed. Corn, they don't hold over as well as some others. I've held tomato seeds over for several years, and I usually will put them in the refrigerator after I sow them. But some people keep them in the freezer. But certain seeds have better germination from year to year than others, as far as the length of time you can save them. To squash, cucumbers, tomatoes, like I said, corn usually doesn't do as well. Okra probably would be a lower germination. And I tell people, if you want to save them, you can always do a germination test, you know, before you sow them to see what kind of percentage you'll get. Put like 10 or 20 seeds in a paper towel and wrap them up and put them in a Ziploc bag or a syllable bag. And, you know, 2 or 3 weeks they'll germinate, and you can see what kind of germination rate you get. So that's a good way to test them.
Well, I know this. And
his voice is so much lower than everybody else's on this call.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see if we can increase that some, or try another microphone or something. But Johnny's soft-spoken.
I need to speak up.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about seed preservation. I moved into my house I live in 1978, and I noticed out in the garage there was some jars with bean seeds in them. I thought, well, I'll try it. And out of them, maybe sticking in the ground, or maybe 5 of them out of 20 sprouted, and they had to be 30, 40 years old now.
Wow.
And I've read things about people finding seeds from real old days that have sprung out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Craig LaHoulier has done that. He's talked about doing that.
Yeah.
Now, I have to wait until at least June to plant my okra, because it's a warm weather vegetable, and it's just too cold up here before then. But I could still plant it in June and get a harvest in August.
Yeah.
Major Dave, what do you think about kale? Are you a kale fan?
I know how to spell it. And that's the extent of my knowledge.
Okay. I'm trying to get over being a sinful person in condemning, without good reason, kale. And I'm going to be better about it in months to come and try it different ways.
Well, my next-door neighbor likes it. He plants some, and he gave me a couple of plants 2 years ago that I put in the ground. They didn't do anything. So I guess they like his ground, but not ours.
Well, that was telling you something, that you wasn't going to like it anyway.
Exactly. But again, thank you guys for the show. It's still great to reconnect with Raleigh every week, and I love what you do, and I just hope you'll keep on doing it.
Well, I appreciate it so much. We always love hearing from you, Major. You add a lot.
Thanks, Vince. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Now, you know where I am if you come to Raleigh, Dave.
You can count on it, Rufus. I'll make a point of it.
All right, 10-4.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. How about that? Major Dave from the mountains. See, we're just so relaxed in here. We're all talking low. We ought to be ready for action with St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. Of course, it's on a Sunday. People are going to have to lay low. Be easy.
Well, go to church and then.
I'm going to church. I'll wear a green tie
because
Melissa's choir, her little children are singing.
Okay. I was thinking I'd wear my glasses tomorrow to church. I don't.
Well, I'll tell you, Johnny.
Yeah, you do that, Johnny.
there at the Three Forks Baptist Church.
I'll be at the talk of the church.
Yeah.
I'll probably envy of the church. I'm not supposed to be envious. So,
well, so. That's right. You're not supposed to be, Johnny. Good gracious. Let's talk to Stephen. Hey, Stephen, how are you today?
Hey, doing well.
How can we help you?
Driving on 40 down to Wilmington, there's a couple of plants I see every spring blooming. One of them is a yellow vine that's up in the trees that's blooming yellow. Is that a wild jasmine? Do you know?
It sounds like the Carolina jasmine. Well, it's not a jasmine, but it's a called
yeah.
Jasmine.
It's very common. Has some fragrance, not as much as the Confederate jasmine, but it's very and it's looked really good this year.
Yeah,
it's been a good year for it so far.
Yeah, and then the other one is a white flowering tree along the edge of the woods. It looks like Bradford pear, but I'm thinking maybe it's. Is it a wild cherry that would be?
I think probably pear is because it's we have found they have a bounty out on it. South Carolina has banned you can't buy after October of this year. You can't buy a Bradford pear in South Carolina, and I think North Carolina the legislature may do the same thing because they say it's invasive. If you look around,
this time of year, they're
all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty, but.
Yeah.
I'm told that they are displacing other trees that birds use for habitat and for food and stuff. So I don't know.
Makes it an invasive. That would be the definition.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of taking
it,
over.
So, yeah. So, it's probably a calorie pear. It wouldn't be the technically a Bradford, but a calorie pear.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what size tree is it? Because I've found it might be wild cherry if it's not there.
It could be a wild cherry.
Yeah, it's about the size of a typical Bradford, but it's right along the wood line. Maybe it's further back in the woods.
I don't know.
I see those, but I see them along the edge.
Well, they're very common right now. They are just blooming all over the place.
Yeah.
But
I had another question. If I was going to plant some tomatoes in a bag of potting soil, do you punch holes in the bottom of that bag so the water would drain out when you're watering them?
Yes, sir.
I would.
Yeah. Definitely want drainage. If you're going to plant them, you know, I've seen them planted in the black cow or whatever. But yeah, you definitely want to put some holes, like with a pitchfork or something, on the bottom of it for drainage.
Yeah, you'd want a big hole to drain all out all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I did a screwdriver one time.
Yeah, a screwdriver would work. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And just like a 40-pound bag, is that what the common size?
40, yeah, I'd pounds. Use that size for your root system.
Yeah.
Buy a pretty bag too. You want it to look nice for a while, Stephen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, appreciate your information.
Thank you very much for calling.
All right. You bet. Bye.
All right. Well, that's certainly one way to do it.
Yeah. Well, I've only tried that once, and I thought, well, that's mighty expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking yesterday about Bradford pear. That had to be named after somebody, and I thought the poor fella, or
Mr.
lady.
Bradford. Well, his tree's all over the place now.
But being called all these vile names, and
I know they smell
being
bad.
Banned, and I'm thinking that poor fella.
Interesting thing about the Bradfords, Michael Durr, University of Georgia. I mean, he wrote the Bible on Woody Ornamentals.
He really did. He wrote the textbook.
Yeah, for Woody Ornamentals, and one of the editions when Bradford pears just started coming out, in one of the editions, he said he thought Bradford pears was one of the most underused landscape plants in the country.
I wonder if he's changed his opinion.
The next edition that came out, he said he would never say that about a plant again. Okay. So, that was very interesting that he had that comment about how things change so quickly.
Yeah.
Well, it's like me and Leyland Cypress. Oh, my Lord. The people that wrote about them couldn't say enough good things about them.
Dr. Ralston liked them at first. I mean, you know, all the great gardeners did.
Well, you do until they get up.
Well, they turned on us.
Like I had to. After 30 years, I think I mentioned on one of the programs here recently that I had four that went down at one time.
Yeah.
In one of the windstorms here recently. And just a mess. My fence.
Yeah, they
everything.
get diseases,
yeah.
bagworms.
Yeah.
And they,
yeah. Yeah, the Leylands.
Plant them
really
too close.
Well, and they, you know, anytime you start planting a lot of a plant and they get a lot of them in the landscape, you just sort of hold your breath of what's going to start moving in on them as far as the disease or whatnot. So, yeah, they were a great plant, great screen. Yeah. But they really do have a weak root system, and will blow over as
right.
Your testament.
Oh, they sure will. You know, like so many of you, when the weather starts warming up, as it did this week, Imos Garden comes in handy. And, you know, it's that time of year when hungry deer and rabbits visit our gardens looking to eat tender new growth. Wouldn't it be nice to see your garden flourish free from nibbled leaves and trampled flowers? With Imos Garden deer and rabbit repellent, you can make that dream a reality. Imos Garden repellents are made from natural ingredients, ensuring a safe and eco-friendly solution for your plants, the environment, and for you. The repellents are gentle on your garden, but tough on deer and rabbits, sending them elsewhere to eat. Imos Garden repellents are long-lasting, too. No more constant reapplying with every rainfall or watering. Imos Garden provides protection that stands the test of time, so you can spend more time enjoying your garden and less time worrying about critter invasions. Join the ranks of happy gardeners. You reclaimed their gardens, and Imos Garden repellents are just so great. They keep your garden in good shape. Imos Garden repellents are available at locally owned stores all around the Triangle area, and for instance at Garden Supply in Cary, at Tony Ace Hardware in the town of Youngsville. So protect your garden today with Imos Garden repellents. People, pet, and eco-friendly. Imos Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. All right, Bobby is with us. Bobby, how you doing today?
Doing fine. I have a little garden spot that's infested with nematodes.
Mm.
I'm going to put in some raised beds and put in some super sod. I was wondering, is there any way to protect the new soil from the old soil, any kind of a barrier such as a landscaping cloth or anything like that? Would it make sense? Or is there any way to protect it from nematodes getting into the new soil?
I don't know of a way for a barrier, without being a solid barrier of some sort would be probably not feasible to do. Have you had it tested? Have you done a nematode assay to find out which nematodes it is? Because there's certain lots of different nematodes, and some of them may not be something to worry about.
Well, the only thing I know, I haven't had it tested. It's root knot. I know it's root knot nematode.
It is root knot.
I know.
Okay. I've seen the signs of that, and the symptoms rather for the root knot. Yeah, unfortunately, it's you almost have to fumigate to protect against that, and wouldn't do that in the homeowner situation. So, unfortunately, and what again were you planting in the space?
Well, plant vegetables, tomatoes, okra,
okay.
Beans, yeah, things like that.
Yeah.
How long does it take to get it infested, the new soil to be infested? I'll put about a foot or so. I think I'm going to use super sod from out at the farmer's market.
Good choice.
Yeah. I don't know how fast it would. It depends on the soil and the moisture as far as how they would go into it. So I don't know how quickly they would reinfest that space. But that's a hard root knot nematode is a hard one to overcome.
they are.
Bobby, I know that you probably would hate to think about planting in pots. I had a nematode infested area where I planted tomatoes, and they finally I said I can't do this anymore because they got them all. And I would take the pots and put two or three layer of brick under them and hope it won't climb up in there, and I've never had any problem since that time.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good solution to me.
I'll tell you, we got a thinking man in here.
Container gardening would be the yeah would be the.
I'm gonna try this, sharp. And if once this new soil gets infested, and I'm Rufus, I'm gonna do what you do. I'm gonna put.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something else. One time that I tried for a couple.
We got
years.
About a minute.
I took post hole diggers, and I went way down in the ground, and put a mixture of things, including I can't think right now. But that seemed to save them for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. And you do have varieties that are more resistant to them as right. well, especially with tomatoes.
Is there a nematode site online at the Extension Service? Is there any? Because I know there are nematologists at NC State.
Yeah, yeah. NCDA might have something
on those.
Well, the
internet's filled up with information. About
yeah, yeah, right. yeah.
What varieties of tomatoes would work best?
We got about 15 seconds here.
Huh, I can't right off the top of my head name any okay. that I would say are safe for nematodes.
Bobby, you can hang on or
yeah hang on and we'll get some.
All right, we'll see if we can come up with something. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up.